an optional thing. You can't say, well, I hear, and because I was exposed to the gospel, then I'm good. Or that I heard and I believed, I have a consciousness, then I'm good. No. Whosoever. And I also have to repent. Who? Whosoever. Every body. You know, what it said?
All men.
Then somebody said, oh, all men. So only men alone need to repent. This all men here is representing all of mankind.
Amen.
Humanity. So all men everywhere has to repent. And somebody says, you know, I don't have a problem with that. Other step in salvation is that of confession. What did Matthew say in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32?
Whosoever therefore shall confess.
So, wait, whosoever. It must be talking about hear, believe, or repent. But what did it say?
Whosoever.
Yes.
Therefore shall confess me before men.
So we have to confess Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Before men. Who?
Whosoever.
Whosoever. You see what we are pointing out here? There is nothing optional about any
Amen.
Of the steps to salvation. Nobody says, well, I can live with that too. Hear, believe, repent. You know, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. I can work with that. And once I do that, I'm good. But remember, we're in Acts 2.
Yeah.
Pick up at verse 38 for me.
Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Some of you?
Every one of
every
you.
One of you. Give me, only those persons who, was he just talking to the 12 disciples? Was he just talking to 100 and some people, why did he say 120 persons? Was he speaking to just Jews? Baptism is critical to every one of us. And that's why I went ahead of the lesson. All right, when I come down to the end, I can just do a quick statement here. But what's the point? It was not enough to just be pricked. And everybody has to do this in order to receive salvation. But I told you to go to Romans chapter 6 because I jumped the gun. Romans chapter 6, verse 3-6.
Know ye not.
That so many of us
as were baptized into Jesus,
into Christ,
were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him
by baptism
into death. That like as Christ was raised from the dead.
Yes, read.
By the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life.
You know what this is saying? This baptism is of such that when we are baptized, we join up in the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Nothing else allows us to get into that state. That is why, you know, Paul was able to say in Galatians chapter 2, I am crucified with Christ. When we are baptized, all of us, no exception, then we get aligned to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm always tempted when I am addressing this type of thing to put a lot of emphasis on the resurrection, because the death, though important, the burial, though important, they lose significance if there was no resurrection. And so we realize that as Romans chapter 6 spoke about the death, burial, and resurrection through baptism, that it landed on the newness of life. And that's what we end up being, having a new life in Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 said it too. Because, you know, said, I am crucified with Christ. Then right after, it says, nevertheless, I live. And so, though we are crucified with Christ, we live with Him. Now, this becomes very significant. It becomes significant because this is what points to victory. This is what gives meaning to the bruised Christ. This is what makes us recognize that though from the inception of sin, we heard that there were going to be bruising, in respect to Christ, it was a bruised heel. Way down a bottom there. A little injury. But in the same time that it spoke to Jesus Christ having his heel bruised, it spoke to a different healing, a different bruising. What's that bruising? The crushed head of Satan. Crushed head. And so it is in this context that we can say proudly, we can say boldly, we can say in a victorious manner that we have a bruised Christ, not crushed. It is in his rising that we do not have the crushing. I say to us that Jesus Christ, if he had died, and if when he was put in that tomb and they seal it, he stayed there, he would have been crushed. But that state was but for 3 days, because on the third day he rose victorious over the grave. That's significant for us. That's why being crucified with Christ, we can say, nevertheless, I live. It's not I that live, but Christ that liveth in me. But what's the point? We are not defeated, though we are crucified. Just as Christ was not defeated being crucified. Why? Because he rose victorious over the grave. That's victory, brothers and sisters. That is serving a bruised Christ, not crushed, but a bruised Christ that now lives. A bruised Christ that is a conqueror. Yes, a conqueror. A victorious Christ. The text that we read earlier, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, talks about that bruised Christ and what the uncrushed, bruised Christ represents for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you can start reading from about verse 53. It says,
"For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality."
Yeah. All right, for time, let's jump down to verse 55.
"O death,
O death,
where is thy sting?
Where is thy sting?
O grave."
I want you to realize, you know, that while man lived in the Garden of Eden, while we existed in that state, we would have life continually. It is the presence of sin that caused us to be in that separated state. So in the presence of sin, we put ourselves in a position where death had victory, where death would have dominion and rulership over us. In Jesus Christ, the writer Paul was able to pen the words, "Death, you have dominion. Death, you are winning this fight. Death, you sting deadly. Death, you are champion." But the story took a turn. The story took a turn saying, because death is swallowed up in victory, then the narrative became, "O death, where is thy sting?" Is that asked Paul asked to try to find out, you know, to say, "Well, O death, where is your sting? It soon come back." No. Is almost a sarcasm. "Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, where is your sting there? All of this, over these decades, you enter the world through Satan, the serpent, and you had a sting, but now the sting gone. Oh, death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" Because you see, that's how death works. It puts us in the grave. It's almost like a finality. The bliss that we now have in the hope of eternal life can no longer, would no longer exist because of death and sin. But now it has no victory. But I didn't allow the brother to continue reading, because it is good that death and sin has no dominion and rulership and conquering strength. But the sweetness in this will unfold. Read on. The sting.
"O grave, where is thy victory?" "The sting of death is sin."
Yes.
"And the strength of sin is the law."
Read.
"But thanks be to God."
But thanks be to God,
which giveth us the victory.
I want to write some other things here. Thanks. But thanks be to God,
which giveth us the victory.
Which giveth us the victory
through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Victory comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we need to recognize. The bruised Christ is not a defeated Christ. Though the bruised Christ died, he's really a Christ victorious. Even though the bruised Christ was a Christ who was buried, he's really a victorious Christ because he rose victorious over the grave. He was bruised. His heel was bruised. He was not crushed. There's victory in Jesus Christ. And it's important for us always to bear this in mind. Switching again back to Acts chapter 2, we weren't really done. But we're at Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, and it says, repent and be baptized. You know, we took time to say, well, what does that all mean? But the story unfolded in Acts chapter 2. You were at verse 38.
Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ.
All right. So he told them what to do. Jump down to verse 41 for me.
Then they that gladly received his word were baptized.
They that what?
Gladly received his word.
Every time we see people, well, we're seeing it over and over again. I don't know if I can rightly say every time, you know. But over and over, when we see people exposed to Jesus Christ and what he did to save us, we see an attitude of victory. Thanks. In this case, they that what? Gladly received his word.
Were baptized. And the same day,
they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Gladly. I want to emphasize that. Because remember, I always want to make sure that you're following where I am going based on where I'm coming from. Remember, in all this, you know, we are highlighting that it's not enough to be pricked. And we have seen that in addition to having probably heard and then believe, and so you are pricked, you are alert, you are convicted, you needed to do some other things. But what we are seeing is that it is never enough to just believe and to hear. Many in the religious world tell us that. You know, listen a lesson on the radio, say, believe, you know, touch the radio. You know, jump up 2 times, you're saved. But you have to do the whole thing. So here these persons on the day of Pentecost being exposed to the gospel, and they gladly received the word and they were baptized. I'm playing out in my mind which way I should take. I'm looking at the time and saying, okay, where should I navigate? What we see is that right after that, they were added to the church. But I'm tempted to talk a little about another man. In Acts chapter 8, In Acts chapter 8, we are exposed to the eunuch. And when he was exposed to the gospel, he too was thankful. He too was glad. And in verse 35 it says, of Acts chapter 8,
then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture.
Okay, all right. I need to go a little bit further, all right? Those are some of the parts that I made I intention to jump for a while. Verse 39.
And when they were come up out of the water.
When they were come up out of the water, you know what the significance here? He had gone through the steps,
yes,
that were essential to every man, everywhere, whosoever you be, male or female, black or white, Jews or Gentiles, he had reached a stage that he followed the whatsoever. He heard, he believed, he repented, he confessed, he was baptized. And that's where we joined in now. We're at verse 39.
And when they were come up,
when they were come up out of the water, that's the resurrection. You know, I feel like I do well a while ago.
Yes.
Because the other things are important, but that resurrection is the victory point.
Amen.
But note, watch with me now. And when they were come out of the water,
the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. That the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing.
In a rejoicing spirit.
Amen.
What are we saying? When we are exposed to the bruised Christ, when we fully obey the gospel, then there is victory.
Amen.
That's why we can always be saying thanks.
Yes.
Why we embrace it gladly.
Yes.
Why we can rejoice.
Amen. Amen.
When we are Christians, this is no sadness thing. We are victorious.
Amen.
The battle has been won.
Yes.
The devil's head has been crushed.
Amen.
Because Jesus Christ is victorious. I wanted to really show you that when Philip taught the eunuch, it was really about the bruised Christ. If you remember when we made reference to Isaiah and that Isaiah spoke about the fact that you'd be slaughtered, you know, like a sheep. It's the same passage the eunuch was reading and couldn't understand it. You know, if you get a chance, read from about verse 32 coming down.
The place of the scripture which he read was this.
I was saying when you get a chance and you go home, but on you they say give us a taste.
The place of the scripture which he read was this.
Yes.
He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. And like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so open he not.
Do we remember reading Isaiah? And we highlighted some 12 different descriptions of the bruised Christ, including the fact that he was slaughtered. This is the very same place that the eunuch was reading and couldn't understand and digest it. But we are beneficiaries of understanding this truth about the bruised Christ. You know, what I find fascinating is that in verse 35, when Philip opened his mouth
and he began to the same scripture,
talk from the same scripture Isaiah 53. And preached unto him. Preach unto him. Jesus. Okay, only you say, okay, you're talking enough about this passage. All right, you weren't going to go there, so I left you. But here's it. He introduced Jesus. The man. When we are speaking about the bruised Christ, it's about the man Christ. That's what we have seen. When we are proclaiming the truth of the gospel, let it be about Christ, what he has done. But what we have seen in Acts chapter 2 is that beyond the man, or let me not say beyond the man, there is no way we can talk about the man Jesus Christ, the bruised Christ, without talking about his plan. Too many want to embrace Jesus Christ and forget about his plan. You see, God in Jesus Christ has a plan. Jesus Christ said it. I am come to seek and to save the lost. That's my plan. And there are certain things that you have to obey. So there are obedient things that we have to take on. We talk about them. Every man, everywhere, whosoever you be, you must embrace the plan. The plan talks about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, Paul talked about, as I get it, so I give you. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But I don't want to end without even spending a minute to highlight that even though when we think about the bruised Christ, we think about the man Christ, and we think about the plan of Christ, I must say that the bruised Christ, we can't talk about him and his plan without talking about the place. Because it's not any and anywhere that we can access the plan. And so we were still at Acts chapter 2. And we realized that those who were rejoicing and were thankful about what they had embraced, all of them got baptized. But then we are told in verse 47.
Praising God.
Oh Lord. Praising. You see all of these words that's pointing to victory.
Right.
That's the spirit.
Yeah.
That's the result of the bruised Christ, not crushed. We're praising God.
And having favor with all the people.
All the people.
And the Lord added to the church.
And the Lord added
to the church.
To the church.
Daily.
To the church. We cannot have a relationship with the bruised Christ. We cannot be obedient and follow his plan, including the plan of salvation, without being a part of the place that he has established. Read that again for me.
Praising God and having
praising God
and having favor,
and having favor with all
the people.
The people.
And the Lord.
Who?
The Lord.
The same man.
The Lord. Added.
Jesus Christ himself.
Added.
Added.
To the church.
To the church.
Daily.
Every day.
Such as should be saved.
Once we are being saved, We must come in contact with the church, because it is in the church that significance of the bruised Christ has its place. Amen. To the churches. He added to the churches.
To the church.
He added to the church, singular. I highlight that because time won't allow me to make reference to Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. Upon this rock, I will build my church, singular. And the gates
of hell
will not prevail against it. Gates shows that God understands, the writer understood plural from singular. So when he highlights gates, we know that he knows plural. But he was very specific. He said, start again.
And I say unto thee,
yes,
that thou art Peter.
Yes.
And upon this rock, I will build my church.
My church is singular.
And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
It. So it's singular, not them. God added to the church daily, such as should be saved. The place. It's not any and everywhere. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4 tells us that there is one body. Not whole heap of bodies. And if we don't understand what the body is, because they say, well, how you reach body, Brother Webb? Well, if we just look up back, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23 makes it clear. You want to read that one?
Which is
One verse above.
Well, 22. Mm-hmm. And I put
all things
under his feet.
Under his feet.
And gave him to be
The head
over all things to the church.
All things to the church.
Which is
the church, even though it breaks up into two verses.
Which is his body.
It's one writing. The church. Which
is his body.
So the church is the body.
Amen.
The body
is the church.
Is the church. So how much church?
One church.
Why? Because there is one body. That's what Ephesians 4:4 says.
That's correct.
One body. There's one church. What's the point though? The bruised Christ is victorious.
Amen.
But as we speak about the man, Jesus Christ, let us never omit his plan.
Amen.
It's for everyone, everywhere, whosoever you be. That's the plan. But you can't separate the plan from the place.
Amen.
The church that belongs to Christ.
Amen.
We can get all fanciful and make churches that belong to every apostle.
Yeah.
Every significant leader that this world has seen. But the place is always the church that Jesus Christ built, that one church.
Amen.
The bruised Christ. We have victory in him.
Amen.
And let me say this as I step down. Philippians chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always.
And again, I say rejoice.
We, brothers and sisters, because we have come in contact with the bruised Christ that crushed, then we can rejoice.
Amen.
And we should rejoice. Isn't that a sad business we're in? We are victorious because Christ is victorious. What's the song of invitation, brother? 643. The bruised Christ, not crushed, the bruised Christ victorious. If you have not joined in, which means that you won't be able to join in that victory march, then why not do it today? Why not join the whosoever? Why not join the every man everywhere and come in a state of thankfulness, a place of gladness, a place where you can rejoice, where you can truly sing praise to the Almighty God. Do that today. You have heard the gospel. Not enough. Believe. Good step. Not enough. Repent. Not enough. Be baptized after you have confessed and live faithful in a rejoicing victory state in Jesus Christ.